I like that one, Campy. Rick Camp and Jay Zawoski are the fine producers of this program. Thank you, man. Ray Diaz does fine work, and he made his debut as Spat 2 today.
That's right.
Wait, what?
Well, yeah. So Jay Zawoski has his Spat Meagle impression, making fun of Spieg, loving the vibe of everything.
Yeah.
And I went in there to talk about something else, and they were like, you know, Ray Diaz has a better Spat. So now we've got Spat 1 and Spat 2.
You have dueling Spiegel impersonators?
That's correct.
Wow.
And you know you made it, baby.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I picture them
in fake Twitter accounts. Pianos facing each other as sluggers.
They're going to play Wrigley like Billy Joel or Elton John.
The Piano Man and the Rocket Man, both impersonating Matt Spieg. Beagle.
The vibe is great here at Sluggers. Brian Gertz does the video
to Matt
stream.
For not slapping the hell out of y'all, too.
Brian Gertz does the video stream and does it well at Watch670thescore.com. Thank you to David Schuster, who you just heard right there, for his scintillating movie reviews and his updates. Joe Ostrowski had him before him. Guests on the show included John Moon Mullen, Sam Munson from Pro Football Focus.
He was great. Moon was terrific.
And Tony Wise was on the show.
Super football-y.
Oh.
Yeah, very
football-y. Another day where football is slathered all over you.
Hey.
Oh, it's great. And
I'm in it.
Helfrich.
Here's what's coming tomorrow.
Like names that mean something.
Hamarkish will be on the show tomorrow. Rich Campbell will be on the show tomorrow.
Football.
And a U.S. Olympian, Kendall Coyne, will be
our
celebrity football picker
more
at
football.
12:30.
I knew it would come back around to football.
Yeah,
the Olympics are good. What do you think of the Bears hires?
We'll have Lowry Marketing on to talk about Harry Hiestand.
Dude,
as well.
that's the other thing we did talk about today.
Oh, we'll talk about that. That's Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, man.
No, in the moment. That is. Mm-hmm. Hey, I got Doug McDermott on me. Now Doug McDermott is not on me.
He was going after Kristaps.
You know, Lowry got the New York newspaper treatment this morning.
Yes.
It's like he said, marked up or something, marked man or something like that. And like they're like, why is he better than our big white guy?
I still take the 7-3 guy.
Yeah.
Because he's
last night he was.
Any defense.
7-3 guy?
Any defense. He can close out and block a shot because his wingspan, but that boy was on skates all game long.
He's tired.
Markkanen was
too.
Better last night.
Guess what, Matt? This is what happens when you're a number one,
right?
Everybody loves to talk about number ones not playing defense and all these other things. When you are the go get the basket guy, you better be sure that your stamina can take that pounding.
Schuster was and I were just talking
guys
about
are running
it
your ass around all game long
during the break,
so the fourth quarter, and you can have no legs.
And that I was just talking to Schuster about this, about Chris Dunn. That when you get that switch and Dunn is still looking for mid-range stuff, attack him. Go right at his snot box. That man is tired.
Yeah.
He's quick. He's sudden for who he is. But if you're Chris Dunn and you're going to be a lead guard, go get him.
I don't think he trusts anything in his offensive game late except the mid-range, though. Mm-hmm. Like, he's not great at finishing at the rim. He clearly doesn't have three-point range.
He got lucky on the one he made, too.
He was having a horrible night. So I think he was just settling for my shot, even if it made as difficult as possible.
Whose job is it to foul Jarrett Jack when you got a foul to give with, like, 3 seconds left? Is that Fred's job to tell Chris Dunn, or is Chris Dunn supposed to be thinking about that? Because nobody did anything.
Yes.
Yeah, your point guard and your
yes
coach
and yes.
Should be on mm-hmm. court.
Jarrett
that.
Jack's an OG, though.
Yeah.
Fat, bald.
Exactly. I love that, exactly. Though.
He looks like an assistant coach with a jersey.
Jay Zawoski's guy.
Remember?
Yeah.
It is. Not just because he's fat and bald, either.
No.
That's
no.
the only name that he's come up with for the last 3 years.
Just like veteran NBA toughness.
Yeah. He's going to have run at Rucker Park when he's like 55.
Without question.
Yeah,
oh yeah,
he's just gonna keep showing up. Like, oh, Jack's here again.
He used to in the offseason. He used to come back to Atlanta because he went to Georgia Tech. He used to come back to Atlanta and play at the Lifetime Fitness, all that kind of stuff. I mean, that's a dude who basketball is never going to leave. He's also a dude who always looks angry that he's having the most fun. Like, there are certain guys that you can't tell if they like what they're doing.
Right.
And then you're like, you cool? Yeah, I love this. I love this.
This is my best.
Yeah.
I'm
always angry. Right.
I remember asking Ted Lilly that, the Cubs pitcher.
After he threw his mitt down?
No, it was before that, but I said, do you even like baseball? And he's like, what do you mean? I said, because you always look tormented and miserable.
Well, baseball guys fall into that, I think, a little bit easier. The first guy that I remember being
Paul
that guy,
O'Neal.
Will Clark. for me as a kid where I used to be like, man.
He did have that pissed off look.
Who's making him play this game? like did he like soccer better? Or?
Like, right. You used to say baseball chains you to the radiator.
It does all season long until you get the saw and you just say the hell with it.
Get out of here.
I'm still here. I'm still playing.
Have you guys, like, where are you at on Markkanen now in terms of his ceiling?
Oh, man,
I keep raising it.
I don't think he's the best player on a champion. I think he can be the second best player on a champion.
And before the season, like when the draft profile came out, and you liked him.
Yeah, Bernsie liked him.
I did.
But you did not have him as second best player on a champion, right?
No, I never said that. I did urge the Bulls to take him with that pick before they did. But
we'll put it like this. If he has to score 24 a game from you, I don't think that you're going to be an awesome team. If he can settle in, like for instance, Kevin Love might be having the best season of his professional career this year. Kevin Love is a dude who averaged 25-15 with the Timberwolves. You know, he's not getting those numbers this year. He's getting like 20-10, 19-10, something like that.
But he's doing exactly what he should on a team like that.
Yeah. He's providing productivity in the third or fourth option in the offense. Like, Mark, I'm not saying he's Kevin Love, but I promise you, if you get Kevin Love's career out of Lowry Markkanen,
you'll feel good about that.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
All right. So has Kevin Love had a better NBA career than Derrick Rose?
Yes.
Same draft. Russell Westbrook has.
But Kevin Love's a champion.
Uh-huh. So. Kevin Love's a champion.
Yeah.
You look at the All-Star games and stuff, and also longevity.
Made a huge defensive play to win a championship, too. Right?
I mean, actually, I'm a little reluctant, but I don't enjoy saying
it. Okay. Right. I'm not a part of the throw more dirt on Derrick Rose club.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying that you are.
Just a little bit just to
you
troll
are.
Danny.
I know.
Yeah. Just to troll Danny.
And me.
Yeah. What does Michael Beasley have to
cut
do?
Cut it out.
Well, Shanghai.
Hold on a second.
That's
enough noise. If we are to have you
the rest of his career.
If
Michael Beasley, if he plays seven more years of Michael Beasley, let's say he's a role player on a title team in 3 years.
Michael Beasley's not in that conversation.
The first 3 years of this man's career, he was
youngest MVP in the league.
The point I was going to make was
let's look at win shares or PER.
Win charts, win shares, whatever you want.
He's a two-time CBA All-Star. Michael Beasley. Get out of here.
Derrick Rose was never a CBA All-Star.
Exactly.
Okay. Is there a team currently in the NBA?
The second time I've
Is there a team with three worse individual defenders in their rotation than Doug McDermott, Kristaps Porzingis, and Michael Beasley?
The Los Angeles Clippers backcourt.
Three. I need three.
I just gave you Lou Williams, Austin Rivers, and the European dude who can't stay healthy.
Oh, the passer?
Yeah.
What's his name?
Have you seen the Clippers play defense?
I have not watched a lot of Clippers basketball.
I know you want to throw more dirt on Derrick Rose right now.
But
that's exactly. This is a Derrick Rose. This is a
immediately,
he was like, all right, how can we poop on Rose a little bit more?
There's nothing to do with Derrick Rose.
Yes, it does.
I didn't mention his name.
You were talking, but.
I said Doug McDermott, Kristaps Porzingis, and Michael Beasley.
But we're going to take this three worse now. Because the Cavs have three awful defenders at that position as well. They got Isaiah Thomas, who's terrible, Derrick Rose when he comes back, and Dwayne Wade.
Okay, so you just did that.
Dwayne Wade's blowing some buyout-approved smoke on Twitter, Wade today.
Yeah,
not allowed to say anything bad, right?
He has to say something good. He's contractually obligated to say something good.
Still allowed to say.
He signed an NDA.
Were you and Vince allowed to see that?
No.
He's an NDA All-Star.
You guys even allowed to read that?
No. Me, Vince.
He made the all-NDA team.
No. Anybody that looked like me or Vince, no. We had to stay away from that story. No, dude. That Michael Beasley thing, though, he is a dude that forever and ever and ever. This is why when he said it in the offseason, everybody's like, oh, my God. I'm like, when he said that he's as offensively talented as LeBron James and Kevin Durant, people lost their minds. But if you look at what he does and how he does it, if anybody – like, one coach put the ball in his hand. Like, Spoelstra didn't put the ball in his hand. Ed Wade, they had those dudes. One coach put the ball in his hand in Minnesota, and he went and got 22, 21 a game.
Mm-hmm.
He is a terrific offensive player.
He can score.
He just loses it. Far too often, even in Houston or wherever, Milwaukee, he loses it. And, you know, there's issues there. You know, there's long issues there in terms of what he did collegiately and where he was at mentally. But the man is a absolute machine. Everything that Durant did the year before at Texas, he came to K-State and was like, all right, I'm going to do
everything. I saw him a few times at K-State courtside.
Ridiculous.
And I thought it was a legitimate debate at one. I knew it wasn't for the Bulls in Chicago right. with Rose and all that, but I thought in terms of the talent, what Beasley was able to do, that it was a legitimate 1-2 debate.
Yes. I mean, there are dudes who could fill it up all around the NBA that are forced into roles, and sometimes you force yourself into a role. Mm-hmm. Michael Beasley is a beautiful offensive player to watch when he gets it going, because he was supposed to be, you know, I know people don't like Carmelo Anthony, but Carmelo Anthony is one of the greatest scorers the game has seen in this generation. He was supposed to be what Carmelo was, take you to the block, take you outside, and he still does it. He's still – like, we've been talking about Michael Beasley now for 7 years.
I know. It's crazy, man.
7 years, and he's still doing the same thing.
I have to give him some credit for still showing up.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. He loves basketball, you know. He
actually looks like he loves it as opposed to Jared Jack.
That Knicks thing is hilarious because you got Cantor and Porzingis. You got Tim Hardaway Jr., who's always hurt. And then you got Hornacek. You're like, oh, yeah, they didn't fire you last year. Like, every time – the first game on the league pass is Charlotte, New York, or Philadelphia, the East Coast teams, they get their first run on the league pass.
Six,
and every time I watched them, I'm like, how is this thing even viable? Like, how is this working? Like, how are you still –
it's not.
You're right,
I don't believe it is.
But there's a lot of – like, Knicks fans are silly anyway.
Well, they're pretty excited. Yeah, they're pretty excited.
Yeah,
they
got a lot to be excited about.
Well, they were happy to get the weight of the Phil Jackson stuff up and out of there. They still have to deal with their idiot owner, but
they hated Carmelo. They're thrilled that Carmelo's gone.
They thought they were going to get Kyrie. So did San Antonio until Boston swooped in there. But Knicks fans, you talk about a fan base that's been suffering for a very, very long time. Bears fans and Knicks fans.
Uh-oh.
The things that the things that the two cities pride themselves on. You know, New York is a basketball baseball town.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a football town. Last time the Knicks won was what, 74, 77?
72 or 73.
Bradley team.
That was Earl Monroe and Clyde Frazier.
Yeah, they won once after Pearl got there.
Yeah.
Once before he got there and once after he got there, I think.
The Mecca and all this other stuff.
Phil was on that team.
They haven't been to a finals since Marcus Camby, Sprewell, Allen Houston, right? Remember that team?
Yeah, true that.
The 8th seed.
And before that, the O.J. chase, right?
Yeah, I remember.
95.
Why did they take the NBA Finals off my TV? Asking my parents. What is going on?
There's a slight news story happening.
The beginning of
reality TV was happening. Yeah,
I know. They were trying to explain it to me. I was like, I don't care. I want to see Akeem Olajuwon.
I think that was the feel-good NFL fan story of last weekend that we didn't get a chance to talk
Bill's
about
Mafia.
Too much. Yeah, O.J.
in
out
Vegas.
There at Moondoggy's Bar in Vegas wearing a LeSean McCoy jersey.
And the dude has a Juices Loose shirt next to him.
Everything. Oh, let me take a picture with O.J. Let me take one.
Yeah. And Twitter not caring about facts, just being like, oh, he's at the game, and he's violated parole. I'm like,
oh, God.
They want him to go to jail for something.
Yeah,
they're like, oh, he murdered someone.
How do you feel if you're LeSean McCoy and you see O.J. repping your jersey?
I'm good.
We're going to cease and desist letter.
What are you going to do? I'm just planning my next all-women vote party after that.
That's right.
I thought, by the way, I mentioned before, Moon Mullen was awesome today, and he mentioned this in passing, but I think it deserves note.
What's that?
Because when John Fox was here, we knew that a lot of the news got funneled through Ian Rappaport and Jay Glazer. And for years, with Brian Urlacher's reputation with Jay Glazer, and sometimes Michael Silver would come to town, and it was always disappointing in a competitive media market to have some national Bigfoot come in and bogart all the scoops. It is really cool that Adam Johns of the Sun-Times got the Nagy scoop, that Moon Mullen got Heastand, that our Mike Mulligan got the Helfrich hire, that Brad Biggs got the Chris Tabor thing. That's cool. I just think it's great to see.
Before they get entrenched and only start talking to national media, which will happen in year one.
But that's what it is. Or there's different networks of sources. Sometimes when there are searches going on, you get things that can come from different angles because the information isn't siloed the same way. So but a competitive media market, you know, the two-paper town and all that, it's something to be celebrated with people out there busting their ass and hustling for these things.
Yeah. I'm so happy for Johns. That's a monster scoop, man.
Mm-hmm. I wish it mattered more.
I was about to say, in this day and age, it's like 5 minutes, and then You're the only, like you said, you're the only one that like, yeah, I got that.
And then somebody goes wherever they want for the opinions they want, right? They go wherever they want for the analysis they want.
The fact that Adam Schefter had to confirm Mully's report this morning. I'm like, you know what? Right here, Schefter. You and all your books and your wedding photo and your background.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, eat it.
I love the Helfrich mix in there. I mean, he wasn't even a Chip Kelly guy when he got to Chip Kelly. He was a Dirk Cutter guy.
Right.
And then he was a different voice for Chip Kelly, which he liked. And now he's a different voice. And that's all he is a different voice and like a guy who's going to execute the Nagy plan. He's not the head coach. He's not going to be calling plays. He's just adding some very different style. Stuff to the West
coach.
Coast, to this version of the West
coach.
Coast.
If he just said, wait a second.
This, and a quarterback, another quarterback too.
Why don't we take this formation, but flip it into a mirror image and do this on this side instead?
I picture it every week. Yep. And what you read about and you hear the good offensive teams do is, all right, listen up. This free safety is trash.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime he's where we want him to be, we are going after him. We always see it in these Monday night and Sunday night games because the primetime teams and the primetime quarterbacks get top billing and they need to be in front of us. As soon as a guy gets hurt, you got a dude with a clean jersey out there that's your fourth or fifth corner. They are going at him play one.
Mm-hmm.
How many times have you seen the Bears do that in the last 3-5 years?
Yeah, no.
This is what I want. I want a weak side linebacker who should not be out there and who has been out there for the
attack
last 3 weeks
because
they suck. Get his ass out the game. Make them sub him out.
It's a basketball mentality on the football field.
Find the mismatch. Hell, we saw Jake Fromm do it at Georgia in the semifinals, right? He looks over and says, oh, yeah, there's a big gap here. He changes the play and hands off to that gap.
Well, the line coaches do it, I know, especially in college. There's that you always will see somebody saying, I can run over this guy's matchup all game.
Yep.
And when they counter it, when they come over, when they stack that side a little bit, we are going to throw to that
side. And that's
side
why
instead.
I thought it was interesting what you got, because I listened to the show today. I thought it was very interesting you guys talking about with Moon, the thought of getting a guard at the top of the draft.
Yeah.
And I will say this. I think guard has gotten a lot of disrespect over the years because it's not tackle and it's not center, but it has to be your most athletic offensive lineman. And teams that run stunts and all these things that flummox these playoff teams, and you're like, why the hell does this keep happening? Why does Vlad Dukas keep getting keep getting exploited? You know why?
Because the good pass rushers are coming inside
because
to get
him. Le'Veon Bell, every time they need yards, runs behind David DeCastro.
Uh-huh.
Running off tackle in the NFL is so hard because of
linebackers are
and all
so
these
fast
things. Exactly.
Too, yep.
You got to get yards sometimes in the middle of that damn offense and the screen game. You know, for years and years and years, we talked about Brett Favre and Edgar Bennett and Dorsey Levens and all these guys. It was their guards that allowed them to do the screen game.
Get out front.
Logan better be great.
That's why you draft them that high. David DeCastro. David DeCastro and Zach Martin and these guys, they don't get the credit that they deserve. But when you watch them, they don't get holding calls. You don't see sacks up the middle. You don't see up the middle pressure, which is the worst kind of pressure. I am for whoever is the best player. And if Quentin Nelson is the best player right there at that position, then you got to do what you got to do, man. I would rather that than a corner or a safety that, you know, might come along. You know, you don't get a good value. I want the best players out there. And if it's not the sexy pick, so be it. There are a lot of picks that aren't sexy that propel teams to championships.
I just love that Hestand is the guy who coached Zach Martin. He's the guy who coached Quentin Nelson. He can sit there and tell you, yes, this guy is worth that or
McGlinchey,
not.
I mean, there's some players that are coming out of Notre Dame
he knows what
the
he's
last
looking
three
at.
Or 4 years.
Yeah, this staff is exciting. And
it really is. That's the part that I love about
We'll
it.
Never actually know, but look, the fact that they've got credibility. Chris Tabor is Dave Tobe light.
He's Dave Tobe Jr. It's exactly what he is.
How about the fact that he's filling out a staff and there are still four teams that don't even have a head coach?
This is why you do it early.
Right.
The Bears are messing around and acting like big boys out here.
They're being aggressive. They're being progressive. Yeah. They're investing in the offensive side of the ball.
The Dave McGinnis, Dick Geron year when they were the last at everything. And there was nobody to be hired.
Yeah.
And forgot that.
And they tried to justify all of it. And like,
Due diligence,
Louisiana Tech, BYU. This guy is Gary. It was BYU, Gary Croton. Oh, yeah. And they won their first game that year. They beat Gunther Cunningham's Chiefs. And
with his shooting glasses.
And yes, his yellow shooting glasses. And Gunther Cunningham was fuming about that razzle-dazzle BS. And, of course, now some of those principles are in use everywhere. But
sure.
He was right. And soon enough, the league sniffed out exactly what they were trying to do. Oh, tunnel screen here, tunnel screen here, tunnel screen there. All right, we got this.
Mm-hmm. What do you guys got today?
We are going to talk with Rob Mosley, who is the editor of GoDucks.com, and he's been covering the Oregon football team for decades. Going to tell us everything we need to know about Mark Helfrich, Joe Cowley on the Bulls at 3, Brian Billick on all of this at 3:30, in other news at 4, Rich Campbell at sometime in the 4 o'clock hour. It's on at 5:30, and we got a lot more than that.
Yeah. Sounds good. It's Bernstein and Goff on the score.